You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, June 25th, 2025, 6:25:25. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or even watching us on all the different platforms out there. We appreciate you getting your day started right here. Coming up on the program today, you know, for the better part of 15 years, it would not have been a surprise to report that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, then under conservative control, was considering a rollback of clean water regulations. But now with a progressive majority in place, the court on Tuesday upheld the state's spills law that ensures faster cleanup and accountability when it comes to things like industrial PFAS chemicals in our drinking water. We'll talk about that decision that came out yesterday. In our second hour, we will visit right after the 7 o'clock news with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She was in Washington, D.C. yesterday, marking the three-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision when right-wing Supreme Court justices repealed women's health care rights that had been protected for nearly 50 years by Roe v. Wade. Also at 7:30, members of the Wisconsin Public Education Network will talk about plans for this year's Summer Summit. It'll be held in Green Bay this year. It's an annual education conference dedicated to new skills, fresh information, making connections, and more. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Earl Ingram about some of the stories he's covering across southeast Wisconsin. We'll talk to James Kelly about some of the stories he's covering across northwest Wisconsin. We'll talk to Jimmy Koska about things going on in western Wisconsin. And we will talk to Joe Zepecki with an update on state budget negotiations at the Capitol. And we'll ask about how it is that our politics is so broken that otherwise moderate legislators, at least moderate by comparison, have to let the most extreme members of their caucus drag down progress rather than work across the aisle to do things in the state budget they know would do the most good. We'll spell out some of the extremist demands that are going to prevent a state budget from being done on time. Now, we've got all that and so much more. And along the way, you can join us by sending us a text message or a comment. You can send that comment as a text message to 855-75-CIVIC or use the Civic Media app. You can also put a comment on any of the Facebook or YouTube pages where you find us. There are five of them, by the way. I mean, if you actually want to watch us, there's almost no excuse not to. The YouTube pages for Up North News and for Civic Media, the Facebook pages for Up North News and Civic Media, and then there's my own Facebook page as well. You go to facebook.com/mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and that's where you can follow me throughout the course of the day for all of the wisdom and whimsy that I feel like putting up on social media. I would love to have you along as a follower with that as well. And of course, there are the newsletters. We put them out one every day, including this morning's edition from Christina Lurie that talks about, are you familiar with the Great River Road? Well, maybe you are. Let's ask somebody who maybe does not live on the Mississippi River. Parker Olson is standing by in Madison Studio A2. Mr. Olson, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm wondering what was it, the Great River Road?
The Great River Road. Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of that, no.
If you've ever been anywhere along the Mississippi River on one side or the other, you may notice a highway sign that's there. And it's green and white, and the green kind of looks like the paddle boat, the steering wheel on the old ships, you know?
Oh, sure.
And it says Great River Road. And it's basically the Mississippi River is a long national parkway from, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, on down.
True.
To the Gulf of Mexico. Anyway,
what?
I know. Scandalous, huh? As a legislator, statement. I served on the Great River Road Commission to help make sure that there was marketing and enhancements being done all along the river route in Wisconsin. And there are all kinds of great, it's a great way to spend a weekend, is going up and down the river to all kinds of different things. Well, in the newsletter today is a discussion on what's called the Great River Wine Trail. For over 100 miles between Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, there are nearly a dozen wineries that you can hop over to and try some of the things that are, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not, wines aren't brewed. They're not distilled.
No, they're...
Are they percolated? Are they...
crushed?
They're crushed? They're created?
I don't know. What's, you know what we should do?
Made. We're making wine.
We're making wine. We should make... an awesome promo for this. We should find some kind of relationship with this for Brittany Merlot.
Brittany Merlot.
She'd be all over
right.
that.
She would be. I would. I think she'd go for that. All right, we'll ask her that in the next hour. So that's in the newsletter today and more that we'll tell you about throughout the course of the show here. But again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Parker's here. Parker is resplendent in Brewer's regalia because there's plenty of work to be done around the radio station. There's plenty of work to be done, you know, almost anywhere in Wisconsin on any given day. And it's not going to get done today because Mr. Olson, trying to squeeze his brewer's cap over his headphones, has plans for a little baseball game that's going to be happening this afternoon.
I expect nothing short of a no-hitter today, Pat.
A double no-hitter.
Double no-hitter. I expect the Brewers to win on 5 consecutive walks. That's what I'm expecting today.
It's gonna be a big deal, kids. It's just going to be it's Jacob Mizorowski versus Paul Skeens, the ace for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And yes, it has happened before that two pitchers have taken no hitters into extra innings.
Is it
That'd
really
be pretty cool? It would be fun, but. You know, first things first, you have to win to get there, and the Brewers did that last night, beating the Pirates by a score of 9-3. Joey Ortiz with 2 home runs, Caleb Durbin with a 3-run home run. So again, just another nice round of bats there. But now, of course, the big thing is whether Mizorowski, the rookie, can keep up with Skeens. Is this Skeens' second year?
Yes,
was he a rookie phenom last year?
He was a rookie last year, yeah, because he won a national championship at LSU the year before.
Okay. He is 4-6, so, I mean, he has kind of come back to earth that way.
No, he hasn't. The Pirates are that bad. The Pirates are awful.
Okay, the Pirates' bats are that bad, so we can hope for that today. Anyway, so that will be taking place today. And if you can't make it to the game, I mean, you can call up Parker. Maybe he's got an extra ticket. You know,
I was telling you, I could go to our meeting if you really want me to.
You and 40,000 close friends, you know, can just call in from the parking lot. But if you can't make the game, you can catch it on several Civic Media radio stations. Brewers and Pirates coverage begins at 12:35 this afternoon. And if you are in the Richland Center area or Oshkosh or Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward, you should be listening to your local Civic Media station, and you can catch the game that way. Another way to catch a game in the future would be part of Free Ticket Friday. I think we're doing that this weekend, are we not?
We are doing that this weekend.
Okay. Well, how convenient for me that's happening there.
It's a good thing you have those notes up.
I know. I bring these up on screen for a reason. So on Friday, we'll give you a keyword. You use the Civic Media app to text it in, and you are in the running for 4 seats to a specific Brewers game. We'll tell you which one it is on Friday morning. So if you can go to it and you want to win the tickets, you text us the keyword. If we pull your name, your entry, you'll be going. Free Ticket Fridays throughout the course of the summer. Here on Civic Media, you can hear them through on all of our talk shows throughout the course of the day. You have not been to a Brewers game this year yet, right?
Not using our tickets. I have been to one Brewer game.
Okay.
I believe we saw the Twins beat us, and we were in the left field bleachers, and spirits were very high because we tailgated, and then spirits were very lowering, we say.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a crash out.
Was it a sunny day?
It was a night game that we went to.
Oh, it was. Okay, good. Yes. The reason I ask is you, as soon as you said left field, I just know that that left field by the foul pole there, if it's a sunny day, you know, those that bleachers are, that's a frying pan.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There was there was a guy in front of us who had lost his fantasy football pool and was wearing a clown suit. I was very, very entertained by that. That kept the spirits as high as they could be for the rest of that game.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, that's not happening to you. You guys are...
Oh, no.
I mean, do you... Because I know the station has a certain number of tickets. I mean, are you going with anybody else? Do you know who else is going with the station's tickets?
I have... I'm bringing a friend of mine who is driving separately from me because he has to work the Mallards game tonight and might have to leave a little earlier than I want to leave.
Yeah. You're both just going to do the parking lot then?
Yeah, I think we're both going to head over and hopefully find each other without having to swim through a crowd of 40,000 people.
Yeah, it's a little easier now in the cell phone era. You know, it's like, look at me, I'm waving my arm at you right now, you know, compared to, you know, the pay phones and the smoke signals that we had to use when we were a lot younger for these things. So,
is that what you're doing, smoke signals, Pat?
Yes. Tony on YouTube, wait, the guy was wearing a Bears jersey? How embarrassing for that guy. I thought you said a clown, right? Okay.
It's the same thing.
I see what you did there, Tony. Really good. Okay, so you got to drive out separately. You got to fight the traffic and everything, and so does your friend, and get back for the Mallards game in time.
He does. I don't.
This is a commitment, you know,
to go
to a game like this. Let's just say let's hope it lives up to expectations.
If it doesn't, Pat, I'm going to be so upset tomorrow morning. tomorrow morning, I might crash out.
Who knew that Mizorowski's arm would just fall off like that? It was amazing. I guess he threw it too hard after all.
Don't say that because the Brewers just got the news that Garrett Mitchell
is out again, unscrewed
the screws that he got and has to redo the surgery. And I expect Mizorowski to trip down the stairs on the way into the dugout today.
Mitchell does say he's going to seek a second opinion, and the other opinion from the other doc is going to be, yes, you need the surgery, and here's my second opinion, you're stupid for sliding into the base so hard that you knocked your shoulder screws out, you know?
That's impressive, actually.
Yeah, so he's going to miss another 8 to 10 weeks, it looks like. And this was, you know, he was coming back not from the original shoulder issue, but from an injured oblique that he tore up back in late April. So he was just on the verge of coming back from that and has now blown out that shoulder again.
Aren't you so excited? Aren't you so excited to be a Brewer fan?
I feel so snake bit to be a Brewer fan. And I understand these things come and go. I mean, you can't control them unless, of course, you do things like, you know, slide too hard into a base. But I just hope that when this is all is said and done, he comes back basically bionic. I hope he's just, you know, he's got so much hardware in him that he's going to be an even better player. By the way, credit to Tyrese Halliburton. I read he put up a really long message from his hospital bed. And, you know, it was quite honest about, look, this really stinks. I'm glad y'all aren't here to see me cry, but I'm going to come back from this. I promise. I'm going to work really hard. And that's all you could want. And I know Halliburton is you know, doesn't have a lot of fans among the Bucks contingent.
Oh, no.
But for the Oshkosh kid, you know, I appreciate his words and hope that he works his tail off at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then loses to the Bucks the first possible opportunity. All right, more coming up in a bit from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We're going to hear a bit from Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area coming up in, just about 15 minutes or so here, just under 15 minutes. here on these mornings, powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on Matt and Air on Air this morning at 9:30, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will join Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. You can hear Mattenair on Air from 9 to 11. Todd Alba has got his show from 2 to 4 this afternoon. I'll join him just after 2 o'clock, along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. And on the Maggie Dawn Show, the aforementioned Mr. Schaefer will join Maggie at 4 o'clock, and then she'll be joined at 4:30 by Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. A reminder that if you can't catch us live, catch us as a podcast. Even if you listen to us live most of the time, once you head over to Spotify or Apple, if that's your platform, and subscribe to the show, and that way it's there. If you miss one, if you hear about an episode, if you want to listen back to something, it is right there on your device. So head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to us that way. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is under progressive control now, ever since the Janet Protasiewicz victory a couple of years ago. But a lot of folks did not follow the court that closely for the 15 years prior, and probably aren't aware that for the better part of that 15 years of conservative control, it would be fair, in my view, to claim that the court was a wholly owned subsidiary of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. It was a group where WMC would bring all kinds of challenges to things that were designed to deal with the environment or with workplace rights or consumer rights, and you could always count on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to do the wrong thing. And that changed with a couple of elections. And it's a good thing, because now, instead of once again telling you that clean water regulations are being rolled back in the state of Wisconsin, I can tell you instead that yesterday the Wisconsin Supreme Court delivered a victory for environmentalists over those forever chemicals known as PFAS, a ruling that environmental advocates say will hold polluters accountable. You've heard PFAS a lot of times. If you need a refresher, PFAS. It is the acronym for a very long chemical name, and it describes literally thousands of man-made chemicals, all these different compounds that do everything from firefighting foam to nonstick cookware and waterproof fabrics and all kinds of other substances. And they're called forever chemicals because while they are a miracle of man-made chemistry in all the cool things that they do, they make all these things stronger. But as a result, they don't break down naturally the way that, traditional chemical compounds do. Certainly not in our lifetimes by the time they would break down. So these chemicals, as they are getting either spilled or dumped or disposed of, are finding their way into the water supply. And it's being discovered that many of these PFAS are not good for human health. There's a reason why you wore protection in factories when these things were being made. But now it's in our drinking water, and it's expensive to get it out, and it's dangerous. And there needs to be, some kind of a remedy when a spill is discovered. There need to be resources to go track down these spills, and there needs to be accountability where possible. If the people who, through recklessness or negligence, caused these chemicals to be spilled, they should have to help foot the bill for the cleanup. Well, enter WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which was looking for a court order that would say, no, not really. What needs to happen here is that you have to have a clear rulemaking process for each chemical, because that's the thing that's most fair to the companies that potentially dumped these things. But environmentalists rightly pointed out that this was a smokescreen or a delay tactic, whatever you want to call it, because again, like I said, these are thousands of chemicals, thousands of different types of chemicals. And industrial groups wanted a rulemaking process to be created for each individual compound, when we already know that under the PFAS family, these types of man-made compounds are already pollution. They are already hazards to human health. And so, as much as WMC did not want the state to enforce these regulations on these substances, this year's long battle has now been resolved, with the court saying that our state's so-called spills law, which is more than 50 years old, is adequate to the test. It is up to the conditions that we have today of being able to ensure that polluters are held responsible and that taxpayers aren't footing the bill for the whole thing. Now, there's still more room to be done in terms of determining standards for things like, you know, drinking water. There's still things to be done like helping municipalities get PFAS out of their water supply. You have a Wisconsin legislature that has a state budget that's about to expire. Okay, the current state budget is going to expire in, 5 days? And during this time, there's been all this money, something like $100 million, designed to clean up PFAS that Republican legislators approved. They sent to Governor Evers. He signed it. He put some partial vetoes in there because the legislators wanted to micromanage how the funds were being used. The Republican legislators stamped their feet, had a little tantrum, and said, fine, we won't release the money. We approved the money, but we won't release the money. And they did the same with hospital money for the Chippewa Valley and for literacy program money. They didn't like that the governor used his line item veto, which he gets to do. He's the governor. And so part of the delay in passing a new budget, the reason it's not going to be passed next year on time, or next week rather, on time, is Republicans say they have trust issues with the governor because of his vetoes. Again, I remind them, it's a veto that he gets to use. There's not a trust issue in him using the veto. There's a trust issue in Republicans not following the rules, not following the process, and accepting that they have a chance to override a veto, but if they can't do it, then they should release the money in the way it can do the most good. Dan Schaefer is coming up next. We'll have more right after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm giving you the music here. Okay.
You're just not working. See
ya. Now, allegedly, you're hearing some kind of music right now for folks coming back from the break as Parker looks puzzled at the computer monitor in front of him here.
So here's the setup here, folks. I have four computers.
He does. I mean, it's a sports bar.
It is. And Pat is on this one.
Yes, here I am.
Stuff I play sound off of is this one here.
Sure. Okay.
I can't get onto this one here right now.
You have like your mouse can move from one screen to the other, but it can't get to that screen?
My mouse moves to three of the four computers I have.
Somebody built a wall. Somebody built that wall.
The most important one I can't get to.
All right. Are we able to listen to Dan Schaefer from yesterday?
We are able to listen to Dan Schaefer.
Oh, okay. Let me tell folks first then, because I was in such a hurry to get to the Brewers-Pirates game this afternoon that I neglected to share Brittany Merlot's state forecast for today, where she says another low pressure is heading towards the state, buckling the front that is parked over the state. Heavy rain and thunderstorms are expected over the next 48 hours. So for today, cloudy and cooler, occasional showers, likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Highs today in the upper 60s up north, upper 70s south, and east wind at 10 to 15. For tonight, rain heavy at times, embedded thunderstorms and fog also likely tonight. Lows in the 50s up north, 60s south, and east wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. All right, I had Dan Schaefer on, as always, Tuesday mornings at 8:30, and it stretched over into the local break where some stations cut away and catch some local news. Dan and I just kind of continue the conversation for anybody hanging around online, and so I wanted to share some of that, where I started by asking Dan about reports over the weekend that State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming may be on the verge of being forced out of his post. Such a contrast from Democrats having a successful transition to a new state party chair.
But it is very interesting that like Schimming it does seem to be facing a whole lot of controversy. I guess like they can go back to the fact that Trump won Wisconsin last fall. So a big part of his job was getting that, working to achieve that very result. So I think that is probably a sign that he's going to remain in leadership. And whether there is an actual ability for this executive team to oust him, who knows? But I think it just goes to show that there are, you know, there does seem to be some under the surface infighting at large for the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Maybe they can agree to get on board for Trump in the general election against Kamala Harris. But beyond that, not so sure if they have a clear direction, if their fundraising is at the level that they want it to be. I know you had a conversation about this with a guest yesterday on the show as well. You know, I don't know if he seems to be pulling together the various coalitions that make up the Republican Party in ways that some of his membership might want to see.
Well, the running joke is the phrase "Democrats in disarray." And I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying that right now the disarray is decidedly on the Republican side. And you can see it, you know, issue by issue, like the conversation we had earlier today on child care accounts, that you have pro-business Republicans that see the wisdom in having a healthy, affordable child care sector. But you have social conservatives who are not at all shy about saying, why do we even have child care? You know, a parent, usually the mom, should stay home. And you've got those two factions just on that issue alone. Then you throw in, you know, a host of others. And now you throw in potential war with Iran. And you've got conservatives who are unhappy that the president is once again working the same path that other past Republican presidents have done, potentially dragging us into a protracted war in the Middle East. Ron Johnson was asked about that and said, you know, does this change anything? And his answer to Maria Bartiromo was, yeah, it means we really got to get going and cut Medicaid and cut those 10 million Americans off of Medicaid. War gets him excited for Medicaid cuts. This, ladies and gentlemen, is your senior senator, as you pointed out yesterday, Dan.
Our senior senator, Ron Johnson. Yep. Asked on Fox News on, I believe it was one of the Sunday morning shows, if what's happening in world affairs with happening with the strikes on Iran, the military action there, if that changes anything for how we look at the big, beautiful bill. And I think Ron Johnson, and I'll quote him directly, it says, "No, if anything, it just strengthens my resolve. How do we expect to defend this nation if we're mortgaging its future, if we're bankrupting it?" Once again, Ron Johnson's concerns about bankrupting the nation for the future seem to overlook the fact that he played a central role in the Trump tax cuts, which exploded the deficit. Yes. But not only that, just like, doesn't it get back to like the you know, every caricature that you might have of the Republican Party of kicking people off of health care in order to start unnecessary, expensive foreign wars? Is it 2003 all over again?
And for Ron Johnson, it's just so on brand. Like, how have we not closed all the orphanages yet? When can we bring back debtor's prison? I mean, the guy is just a Dickens character. And you talk about the prospect of war in the Middle East, and he's coming right back to, we got to rip healthcare away from people. That's the way that we get this done. Any chance you were as surprised as I was? And in my case, it was a pleasant surprise, but a surprise nonetheless that Governor Tony Evers just came right out and said, if there's not money in this next state budget bill for child care accounts, I'm not signing this budget. And I think I get why, because you can partially veto a lot of things, but you can't partially veto a zero.
Right.
But you know, what were your thoughts when you heard that he had actually put that line in the sand?
Yeah, I was encouraged by it. I think that's the type of moves that the governor should be making right now. You know, we are now less than a week away from the budget deadline, and it does not seem like we are particularly close to getting that budget completed in really any way. But I think, you know, there's the difficult part of what Evers is putting forth here, saying that he won't sign a state budget that does not extend child care accounts payments. Well, there's two things. One is, what level of payment is he going to see as an acceptable level to sign the budget? Because we know Republicans are not going to go all the way to the, what is it, 400 some million?
450 million.
Yeah. 450 million that the governor has proposed for child care accounts. Again, a program that has been successful in keeping costs manageable for families, keeping centers open and keeping providers paid, and has, again, has proven to be effective. So, you know, it's something that the Republicans are really arguing with results by denying funding to this program. But I do think it's interesting, but I don't know if there is that much incentive for Republicans to really do anything here, because if Governor Evers were to veto a budget, it would just go back to, you know, the base levels of funding that we've seen from the last 2 years, which would include nothing for nothing allocated for childcare, because that has all been funded through what Evers has been redirecting through federal funds.
Well, that gets me to the question of whether all of this is just posturing. Is this one big head fake when you've got, you know, you've got a couple of senators, state senators saying, well, they're not going to support what comes out of the Joint Finance Committee. And, you know, is that division within the Republican ranks, or is that simply the means to an end to not pass a budget? And I talked about that on Monday with State Representative Francesca Hong. And I said, am I overthinking this? And her answer was, yeah, Pat, you're overthinking it. But I still think that that may be very much in the, you know, Robin Voss, Devin Lemahue playbook of, we're going to say all kinds of things, but really when all is said and done, we have no interest in passing a budget and we think we can run with that.
I think there's a couple different things with this. I do think that they will pass a budget and kind of dare Evers to veto it, because we've talked about, and, you know, Todd Albo was all over this last week on Civic Media, with the potential cuts to the UW system. I think that would be more of a situation that could set up, you know, a potential scenario where Evers would veto the entire budget. Because if they're going to cut $90 million from the UW system at a time when we have a $4 billion surplus, going back to those base levels of funding would mean not having a nearly $90 million cut to the system. And I think this is, you know, there's going to be some mounting pressure on this too, because there are a number of groups, Citizen Action of Wisconsin being one. There are a few that are part of this coalition that has been encouraging Evers to veto the entire budget if it doesn't include adequate levels of funding for things like K-12 education or childcare or Medicaid expansion. So I do think those calls from the left, from Democrats, are going to ramp up. And I think, you know, Evers has a challenging political moment ahead of him. That's for sure.
For more from Dan, you've got to subscribe to the newsletter. Head over to therecombobulationarea.news. And Dan's on the radio throughout the course of the week on Civic Media.
And I always post a roundup of all of my radio appearances from across the Civic Media network at the end of the week at the Recombobulation Area. So subscribe to get that delivered straight to your inbox, too.
All right. Well, you heard the man. Well, you heard the man if you were on the radio. Our poor social media audience was stuck watching me play like, you know, a little puppet show over here on the screen. But you can get Dan Schaefer's newsletter. Head over to therecombobulationarea.news. Again, therecombobulationarea.news for what Dan is writing about from things in the state capitol and elsewhere. Let's do a mental health check-in now on Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. How you doing, buddy?
No bueno.
while you were struggling with that, I found out that if you Google the phrase why won't my mouse move to my second monitor,
yeah,
there's a lot of info. This happens to a lot of people, and it just brings up something that I mention a lot of times, is that pick a time, maybe 50 years in the future, 100 years in the future, people are going to look back at this and go, wait, there were a time when computers didn't work right? Like your mouse wouldn't move from one screen to the other? That's crazy. How would that be? We sometimes forget, for all the advances we've made, we really are still in the dark ages, you know, the beginning times of the information era. I mean, the internet's only been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
Know? That's not much.
No.
And we don't live in the time of the Jetsons just yet. But again, this is going to work out really well. How's that history lesson looking, you know, in about 5 minutes here? We have to play clip after clip. Would it be better if I stopped talking to you so that you could keep getting all these clips ready so that they maybe play in some other monitor? Is that what you're saying?
They're going to be played. You're just not going to be able to hear them. Actually, no one in StreamYard is going to be able to. It'll go over the airwaves.
Well, I mean, we are a radio show, so I guess sacrifices have to be made.
Yeah.
But
I don't think there's going to be a way for me to do that, like, well at all.
You know what? I'm just going to play it in my head. I might actually sing a couple of the songs to the social media audience while the radio audience is hearing it. It's not like we're going to have to pay extra for the licensing, you know?
That's
true. The music's going to go out. This all goes to just, again, state that no good deed goes unpunished. And the good deed is that we're letting Parker go to a Brewers game this afternoon. Free tickets from the station. It's going to be a great time. In fact, I predict he might have an extra bottle of water. He might really whoop it up at the game tonight.
I'm losing my mind, Pat. This is not good. This is not. Oh, I can't even play Pigeon Quest. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I just saw Melissa Kay step into the on-deck circle here. We can't play Pigeon Quest when she gets here for the history lesson?
I don't think so, unless I can find it somehow. I did send it to maybe. I don't think you'll be able to hear it no matter what, but maybe.
Hey, folks, you're gonna want to stick around after this little break here because we're going to have today's history lesson. It might feature me singing. It might feature Melissa Kay joining me for duets. So their social media audience can hear some of the tunes because they may not hear Pigeon Quest. That's all coming up. Stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And this is where the bumper music would play to go to commercial.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I have no idea if I'm in sync with the radio song because, again,
that was decent.
We can't hear it here, but that for the radio audience, they're hearing Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4. They released that song, one of their first big hits on this day in 1970. Welcome to today's history lesson, today's music-free history lesson for our social media audience, where Melissa Kay joins us as well. From Wisconsin Rapids, hanging out at 97.5 WFHR, 105.5 WIRI. And Melissa, maybe Parker, maybe Melissa is the one that broke your computer. Because
or it was Paint
with
Bucket.
It's like that, or it was Paint Bucket, because that computer is where we would normally, and Parker, we got to get this in sync, where we would normally play
Pigeon Quest!
Hey, nice job. I think you're actually... more in sync than the first time you did it.
Probably, which, again,
may or may
not help the bit. We thought that there was a chance that Paint Bucket would be on your shoulder already.
Well, see, there was a shipping delay because of the super hot weather. They couldn't ship her.
It was a longer flight.
Okay, so the delay is in the process of shipping. Paint Bucket isn't in a warehouse someplace.
No, that's why they didn't, because it's too hot for them to be in the truck. And so, there's a delay. Next possible option is the 7th.
Okay, all right.
Because of the 4th holiday weekend and, I might be driving down to meet a volunteer halfway. We'll see.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
It's still a quest.
Our little pigeon toes crossed, as the case may be. Hey, are we still, is the radio audience still hearing 25 or 6 to 4 in the background all this time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I just want to see if I get the solo right. Am I at all insane? Probably not. All right. Here comes some birthdays. Anybody remember Lassie, the early days TV show with the dog? June Lockhart, the mom on there. June Lockhart, the actress, is 100 years old today.
Oh, wow.
June Lockhart from Lassie and Lost in Space turns 100 today. Ricky Gervais, happy birthday, 64 today. Then a few sad notes here. Anthony Bourdain was born 69 years ago today, but, of course, we lost him a few years back at the age of 61. It was on this day in 2009, Michael Jackson was found dead in his Los Angeles rented mansion at the age of 50. And the late George Michael was born this day in 1963, but again, was lost way too early back when he was 53 years old in 2016.
I swear music is playing.
Maybe it's, if you can hear the music, Parker, then it seems like you're the one that should be singing along with it so that we feel like we're...
I did do choir. I was in advanced choir, actually.
Okay.
However, I don't think that needs to go on YouTube any more than it already is.
Because you got to have faith. fate. Anyway, on this day in 1978, the rainbow flag representing gay pride was flown for the first time in the San Francisco Gay Freedom Day Parade. Happy birthday to singer Carly Simon. She is 82 years old today. And theoretically, the radio audience is hearing her sing, I haven't got time for the pain. Haven't got room for the pain. Having a need for the pain. Okay, more birthdays now. Justice Sonia Sotomayor is 71 years old today. So is David Page, the co-founder of Toto. And John McRae from Cake, the band, is 61 years old today. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss this next one because it was on this day in 1993 that Nora Ephron's romantic comedy Sleepless in Seattle, starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, opened in theaters with songs like this one from Louis Armstrong. And this is where a social media audience would hear him saying, give me a kiss to build a dream on in my imagination. Yeah. Nat King Cole, Harry Connick Jr. The soundtrack was a big hit. I still love that soundtrack. Highly recommend. You don't have to see the movie to appreciate the soundtrack.
But the movie was good, too.
Oh, the movie's super good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would dare say Sleepless in Seattle was the first what you would call a rom-com that I was truly a fan of. Really good. Really good. Tony on YouTube. I love that song. How do you know, Tony? You can't hear it.
Well, you sang enough of it that we know what it is.
Happy anniversary to Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman. They married this day in 2006, so today is their 19th wedding anniversary.
Wow, is that like the longest celebrity relationship?
It just might.
Dolly Parton and her husband.
Might be. Let's see. And on this day in 1967, the Beatles premiered a song to a worldwide TV audience of 400 million people. And it started with a flourish of trumpets. And then they sang, All You Need Is Love. Doesn't it feel like there's like a musician strike going on right now? And we have to fill in the gaps for the missing music. Meanwhile, the radio audience is like, would you please stop trying to sing over the songs? Folks that might have tuned in the past couple of minutes here, we have a computer issue. First time ever where the radio audience is hearing stuff coming off of Parker's computer, but the social media audience is not. And Tony, I suddenly like that song a little less. Yes, I understand. Yep. Totally get how that would happen. Let's see. And on this day in 1988, 17-year-old Debbie Gibson hit number one with Foolish Beat, making her at the time the youngest artist to top the charts with a song that was written and performed and produced all by herself. Again, that was Debbie Gibson back in 1988. All right, so the delivery of Paint Bucket has been delayed a bit.
It's been delayed because of the heat, yep.
Okay, and you dealt with the heat all right yourself? Did you?
I survived it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you said you put in your own window unit air conditioner.
Well, you know, the forecast that Brittany shared with us was just so awful. I was like,
I picked up a window.
I was. And then I fought until I won, and now I have air conditioning in my bedroom.
Melissa Kay, thank you so much. And we'll have more Paint Bucket and Pigeon Quest next week. You take care.
You too.
All right. Bye, two more hours to go with or without music on one of these Wednesday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. And here's some songs for social media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.